Be'ezot Hashem, we are now going to begin Parshas Lech Lecha. Tonight is actually Zayin Cheshvan, Tovshin Pei, and it's November 4th, 2019. And we're going to talk about Parshas Lech Lecha. We'll mention several points, and then we'll try to develop them as we move along.
By the way, Tavshin Pei is 30 times Yud Kei Vav Kei.
Really?
780.
Very interesting. I never thought about that. Yud Kei Vav Kei, how many times?
30.
30 times.
So 260, 260, 260, 780.
Wow. Okay. Parshas Lech Lecha begins the Parsha of the Ovos HaKadoshim, the parasha that deals with our forefathers, begins with, of course, with Avraham Avinu, and it sets the tone for Sefer Bereishis that we're going to pursue from Lech Lecha onward. And the term of Avraham Avinu, Avram, our father, is expressed in an interesting way in the Pirkei Avos. The Pirkei Avos in Perek Hamishi mentions Avram twice. It says the following. It mentions Asara Dairais mi Noach v'ad Avraham. There were 10 generations from Noach until Avraham. Lehodia kame erech apayim lefonav. To make known how much Hashem's erech apayim, Hashem's patience, the degree of Hashem's patience was that he waited 10 generations until Avraham was born. Shakol ha-dairais hoya mach'isin uvoyin. 10 generations were constantly angering Hashem. Until Avram came and he received the schar of all the 10 generations. The next Mishnah says, Asara nisyonos nisnasa Avraham Avinu v'omad b'kulam. There were 10 nisyonos, 10 tests that Avraham Avinu was tested, and we'll talk about some of them this week. And he stood up and passed them all. Lehodia kama chibasai shal Avraham Avinu, to make known how much his love Avraham Avinu was for Hashem. So the first Mishnah mentions Avraham and not Avraham Avinu. The second Mishnah mentions Avraham Avinu. Why is there a distinction? Why is there a difference? So Reb Chaim Volozhin explains this in Sefer Ruach HaChaim on Pirkei Avos, and he explains because this is where he became a father through Nisyonos. How you become a father that sets the tone for the Jewish people. You set the tone by passing Nisyonos. When you have nisyonos, when you're tested and you withstand the test, you go ahead and you shape the future of your descendants. And this is where the parsha starts off with nisyonos. Actually, according to some opinion, the first nisyon was at the very, very according to some, the first one was Lech Lecha, to leave your father's house, right? Just like that. Some say this started before, in Or Kasdan. It started where he was thrown into the fiery furnace of Nimrod, and he withstood the Nisayin at that time. This is what shapes a father. This is what shapes Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the only ones that are called our Avos HaKadoshim, our forefathers. Forming from F-O-R-E, from before, the fathers that were before, that preceded the Bnei Yisrael and led them and shaped the Bnei Yisrael. No other person, as great as he was called a father. Not even Moshe Rabbeinu. Not even David HaMelech. They were all very, very great people. But the ones who get the title of Avos is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the reason for that is because they have passed many, many nesyonos. They passed tests which theoretically the average person probably wouldn't have handled at all. And because they passed these tests, they have riveted these qualities into the DNA of the Jewish people, and therefore the Jewish people were capable of passing many, many tests throughout the history of the Jewish people. So to begin our discussion in Parshas Lech Lecha, to understand that Avram Avinu, our father Avram, got the title Avinu, is because he set the tone, he passed Nisyonos, and when you pass Nisyonos, when you pass tests, you become an Av. You become a father that has the qualities of shaping the future destiny of the Jewish people. Having said that, if we would take a few minutes and move along,
this way too, the word Avos.
Yes.
It's 409 with the Kolel, 410 with the Mishkan.
Uh-huh.
So they were the Hashem says, "Avasu Mishkan."
They were the Markava Shel Shchina. Okay, that's very true. Thank you very much. But that's on a much deeper level that you're talking about.
The reason. Normally, you call the first one a father, and then the other one, the next one, will be the son. Right.
Right.
So here, all three you got that.
There were all the others
together as a unity. Right?
So they were that. So
they were all connected. They were all.
So you're saying that all the three, being connected, created the Mishkan.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you put the word Mishkan into
the 410? Is the Mishkan?
Oh, it was because of the gematria. Mm-hmm. Of Mishkan is 410, and the Avos, you're talking about
Avos is 409 plus the Kolel,
right?
Right.
410. Very nice. I learned something new. Now, if we go through the parasha, I'm going to stop at different points. We're going to see what Nisyonos Avraham Avinu went through, and each of these Nisyonos help shape the destiny of Klal Yisrael. We start from the very beginning of the parasha. We're going to say a few psukim and we'll move on to other parts of Parshas Lech Lecha. V'yayma Hashem el Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzecha. Hashem said to Avram, go for your sake from your land, u'mimeulatecha, and from your birthplace, u'mibeis avicha, and from your father's house, El ha'oret asher areka, to the land which I will show you. And there ve'eschel agoy gadol, and there I will make you for a great nation. Va'avorcha, and I will bless you. Va'galu shemecha, and I will make your name great. Ve'hayei baracha, you will be for a blessing. Here he's being told to leave Haran, where he lived with his father, and to go to Canaan, right, to a place, and with no destination, with no address, just go. And Avram had such deep faith, emunah betochen, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he didn't question that request, which would make the average person wonder, what do you mean go? Like, where to go? Give me a destination. Just go. Hashem says, I'll show you already. And if you listen to me, you'll be blessed. So we see right away the ingredients of the greatness of Avram is his faith in Hashem, his emunah betachin, and Hashem promises him all those great things which I just mentioned, and he moves on with it, and he takes the trip, and he takes himself, his family, takes Lot, and he takes all the converts that he converted from Haran together with him, and he travels to Eretz Canaan. This is right away a reflection of Avraham's deep emunah betachin that right away puts him as an av, as a father. Now you have to understand something. He was told to go and he didn't question. He didn't question, why do I have to go and where am I going? He took it completely submissively without question, and that was in itself a nisayon that shows that he had greatness and dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We continue, he goes and finally he comes to Eretz Yisrael. Let's turn to page 56 in the Askel in Pasuk Yud. There he finally arrived in Eretz Canaan. What does it say there? Vayehi ra'a ba'aretz. Finally, he comes to Eretz Canaan, and there was a famine in the land. Hashem told him to go to Canaan, and now he arrived in Canaan. He can't live there because there's a famine. So what does the pasuk say? Vayered Avram Mitzrayma. Avram went down to Egypt, Lagursham, to sojourn there, Ki Chaved Havah Ba'aretz, because the famine was very, very strong. Finally, he arrives in Mitzrayim, and as he gets there, all of a sudden, he has to discuss it with his wife. You know, we're now in a strange land, and they have these strange rules that if a woman is married to somebody and the king would like her, he wouldn't marry a married woman. He would just unmarry her by killing the husband. So he pleads with his wife Sarai and says, please say I am your brother and I will say you are my sister. He finally comes to Mitzrayim, and all of a sudden, she gets taken to the palace of Paro. We'll call that kidnapped. And again, he has no question about Hashem. You told me to go to Canaan. I finally am there, and now there's a roar of a famine, and I have to go to Mitzrayim. Now I'm in Mitzrayim, and now my wife gets kidnapped. No questions asked. Complete faith in Hashem. That means there is a reason for this whole episode. At the end of the day, I'll see the better and the bigger picture. Hashem promised all this blessing. I'll make you great. You'll be a blessing. You'll be everything. No, he didn't question that. And finally, as we know the story of the Chumash, that Pari was plagued because he took Sarai, so he finally realized that she was married and he told him to leave, and he's now back on his way up to Eretz Canaan. Finally he arrives to Eretz Canaan, and you think life is simple? Not at all. He brought with himself, we brought Lot. He brought with him Lot. So now Lot is going with him, and since he was showered with all the goodies that a king could shower with gold and silver and cattle and camels and slaves and everything. So Lot was part of the group. So now Lot's with him, and all of a sudden there erupts a conflict. Finally, they arrive to Eretz Canaan, and Lot is with him. And let's go to Pasuk Hey in page 58. On page 58, Perek Yud Gimel, page 58, it says, "Vagam Lot haholech es Avram." Lot now goes with Avram. Hayitzon uvaka v'oyalim. He has sheep and cattle and tents. V'onasa osam ha'aretz l'sheves yachtov. And the land can't bear them both. There's just too much cattle. Right? V'layach l'sheves yachtov. And all of a sudden, v'yipasik zayim. There was an outburst. There was an argument between the two. Right? What was basically the argument? The argument was that the shepherds of Avram were trying to tell the shepherds of Lot that you can't graze in private property because the land is not ours. Hashem did promise them Eretz Canaan, but it was still not theirs yet. And the argument took place then as they arrived to Eretz Canaan. So what's Avram's action? And he sets the tone for the Jewish people. Let's go Pasuk Ches. And Avram says to Lot, "Al na sihi meriva beini uveinecha. Let there not be an argument between the two of us, between my shepherds and your shepherds. We're brothers. We're very friendly with each other. Is not there so much land before us? Separate, please, from me. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." So how did Avram diffuse this argument? He diffused by saying, let's not argue, but just let's separate. Not to prove one is right. Right? He gave him a choice. He gave him a choice to go right or to go left. But let's not argue. So right away, Avram diffuses this argument, but he also trains the Jewish people how to live in a situation when there's conflict. Always look for shalom, and that's one of the hallmarks of the Yiddishkeit. One of the hallmarks of a Jew is that he pursues peace. That's one of the hallmarks of right. We know that the second, the last Mishnah Pirkei Avos on Perek Aleph says, "Hashloisha dvarim ha'olam kayim." On three things, the world exists: on dins, emes, and shalom, on peace. He put it into the DNA. You have to live with peace. Look for an alternative. Be mavater. Give up. Give him a choice. Go to the right, I'll go to the left. Right? You go to the right, I'll go to the left. Learn to be mavater. Learn to give in. Learn to compromise. We put it into the Jewish people's DNA. This is Avraham Avinu. Of us. The fathers of the Jewish people. Let's move on. So finally, the Torah continues on to then at the story of Perek Yudalid, and finally Lot chooses to go live in the area, the cities of Sodom. There erupted a whole battle between the four and five kings, right? The five kings of Sodom against the four kings, which among the four kings was Nimrod. And the truth of the matter is, as Medrash says, this war that seems to be at first insignificant, is mentioned for one reason. It's because Nimrod was really upset that he was put to shame by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu put him to shame at the story with the furnace. There's another incident where he was also put to shame when he came to his tent, because he heard that Avraham Avinu gives food free, and he made him sign a document that he's not a god, because he wanted to leave without paying. So he made him sign a document, and then that document he showed to everybody. So he
thanks God.
Huh?
That he thanks God.
Nimrod made he signed a document that he was masquerading as a god. He was really not a god. And this document he had, and Avraham Avinu showed it to people, and he was extremely put to shame. So, but he had a problem. He swore in front of the entire country that he was not going to touch Avraham. So the only way he can get back at Avraham is getting at Lot. Lot had an image of Avraham. He had one face of Avraham Avinu. So if he was able to get Lot and go around the country showing everybody that, quote, Avraham is being put in chains and being punished for his abuse and his lack of respect for Nimrod, so to say. Now, what happened was the war erupted and Lot was captured. Og, the polit, the refugee, informs Avraham that Lot is captured. And truthfully, that's the center of the war, because Avraham put himself again in danger and only was able to survive with Emunah and Betachin. Here he put himself in a situation where this was a one-way, this way is a one-way trip to go. He went al Kiddush Hashem to get the four most powerful kings, and in his mind this could have been a one-way trip, yet he had Emunah and Betachin. Again, he is literally branding Emunah and Betachin into the DNA on Klal Yisrael, and here the result of this enormous Betachin, Emunah and Betachin, by putting himself in such sakana, he wins the war, and we know the Medrash that the sand turned into arrows and spears, and that the war was won. And Hashem gave him an entire night of miracle. The first half of the night he won the war against the four kings. The second half of the night, we know that was Yetzias Mitzrayim. The miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim are created and are born in this parasha, in the story of Avraham going to war against the four kings with Mesimas Nefesh, prepared to lose his life. And the return response is that not only did his life saved, but he saved the entire Jewish people. Because this was the beginning, the schutz of the midnight of Makis Bechoros, as we all know to be at the midnight, and then the beginning of going towards the Red Sea, right, the Yamsuf, which resulted into Kriyas Yamsuf. This is all a credit to the Mesiras Nefesh of Avraham Avinu. So again, we see why he's called an Av, a father, because he withstood the nesyonos that no other person would have withstand. This is another reason why he's an Av, a father. And because, again, as I said it several times, when you withstand a nesyon, a test, then you brand it and incorporate it in your DNA to your children, and this is where we have, through the incidents that are happening in Lech Lecha, are being passed down to us, his descendants, his children. Let's move on. So that's the story of the war of the four and five kings. after we had the story of the four or five kings, comes the story of the Bris Bein Hapsor. Again, he was promised. He felt completely empty. Imagine Avraham Avinu, he had no zechuyot, he had no merit because of all the miracles that had taken place until now. How am I going to survive? How am I going to have anything for my children? How am I going to have any future? He had two worries. One worry is that he has no credit in his spiritual bank up there in heaven. And the second thing that he worries, he says, listen, I'm afraid that the enemies of the four kings, excuse me, the friends who are friendly to the four kings who I killed will now gang up on me and destroy me.
If he was able to have all this backing,
yes,
wouldn't he now be in a feeling of, I've got somebody on my side, I've got God on my side? Why is he apprehensive, as you put it?
Right.
Whereas, if he sees all these miracles happening,
he'd be supercharged to be able to. The answer is exact reverse.
Yes.
The answer is the exact reverse, because in the world of Avraham, he didn't live to work his life around miracles. A miracle was a gift. And he didn't go into war knowing that he was going to be the subject of a miracle. He went into war saying goodbye to this world. It was the devotion, the complete dedication of Avraham Avinu to his belief in Hashem that made him be worthy of miracle. So he didn't expect. In his mind, the miracles that took place depleted his world of mitzvahs. His bank account is now empty. Right? And if you look at...
His gehava was diminished.
He felt, yeah.
Those one that live like that, that's mean that the Gehava is growing and growing,
right,
to the point that they're going now to only trust in themselves.
It's not good.
That's right. Because now I know that I have like the power by my side, right?
Right. So now, okay. So now, there was another concern that Avraham had. He says now he's 75 years old. And his wife is barren, and Hashem's promising him children. Who's going to take over? Eliezer, his slave? So now he's going to get what blessings? You promised me blessings, you're going to have it all. Who's going to get it? Who's going to get it, my slave? So Hashem, and let's read the pasuk so we can focus in the response. After the war of the
4 and 5 kings, 66,
the word of Hashem was to Avram in a vision lame of saying, Al tira Avram, do not fear. Anochi magen loch, I am your shield. Your reward is very great. You had two worries. You're worried about your enemies are going to gang up against you? I'm your shield. I assure you. You have faith in me until now. I'm your shield. And about your depleted world of Olam Haba, Schacha, Harbe Ma'ay. Your reward is very great. And then Hashem hears him ask, but you're giving me reward. Who's going to get me my reward? I have only a ben, or I have my ben Basie, my caretaker, my houseboy is a slave, right? So Hashem again assures him, someone who you will have a child from you will be your future. Will be a future offspring that will be the future of a great nation, and you are not to worry about that.
So again, we see over here where he showed great faith, and Hashem took him, and according to Chazal, out of the hemisphere of the world, and showed him the world, the heavens with stars. And as the Pasuk says in Pasuk Hey, Vayotze Oso Hachutza, he took him outside of the area of the world. And Vayom HaBedna HaShemayimah, look at the heavens, Usfar HaKochavim, and count the stars. Imtucha Lispor, oh some, can you count them? If you can count them, then like this, so I promise you, you will have offspring. I promise you that you will have as many as the stars, just like you can't count them. Right. And what does it say after that? Pasuk Vav? Vehem in Bashem. He trusted in Hashem. Something which is unbelievable. He's an old man, has a wife as an old woman, and Hashem tells him he's going to have as children as many as the stars, and he believed him. The Torah testifies. And why did Hashem consider that belief? He considered that feeling a feeling as if he did an act with his hands, tzedakah, an act of righteousness. Which just allows me to go off on a small tangent, that whenever we have any amount of emunah and betachin that is credited in Shemayim as tzedakah, if you have faith that Hashem will take care of you if you have a problem in business, Hashem, I have emunah and betachin, Hashem will take care of me, then you can put the pasuk in your mind, vayachshaveh alei tzedakah. You can say it in your mind that Hashem will respond. I consider that an act of righteousness. If there's a problem with siblings, if there's a problem with a marriage, if there's a problem with business, the business is not working out, and you have emunah and betachin. I don't know, you say, I don't know how this is going to work, but I have faith that Hashem is going to find a way out of this mess. Think in your mind these three words, Vayachshaveh alei tzedakah. Hashem is considering that thought, tzedakah, an act of righteousness. We think of tzedakah as putting a quarter.
Praying to Hashem for the same circumstance would be the same thing?
Exactly. Praying is...
You're showing faith.
Yes. Praying is part of showing faith. But the fact is that you are expressing it in your mind, in your heart. I feel, I believe that Hashem is... Right? Right? There is somebody who I just spoke to somebody recently. They're going through a very hard time. And the person who knows exactly what's going on with the situation says, despite the difficulty, we have faith that Hashem is going to take care of the person who was in trouble. We have faith. And in my mind, it's like saying the response, Hashem is responding. I consider it as if it was a deed of righteousness. So whenever you have a moment to show emun and betachin, right? You should know that thought, the thought, I'm making a very clear comment, the thought is an act of tzedakah. The thought is an act of righteousness. Now again, you see why Parshas Lech Lecha is full of example of the others, of why Avram is called an Av. He is literally creating the stage for life. The principle and the stage, the foundation. Thank you. The foundation of the Jewish people as a father. And he's putting this and he's riveting these messages into the DNA of the Jewish people. Let's move on.
Before we move on, can I make a comment?
Yes, go ahead.
Well, now, see, and when Aram says to Hashem about yes. Eliezer going to inherit
yes.
them,
yes.
in Pasuk Dalet, yes. it says, V'hine dvar Hashem elav le'emor lo, yirash hazeh.
Who is that?
12.
Uh-huh.
12 tribes.
Rosh Chazeh.
Okay, very good.
Because the ultimate,
yeah,
Yerusha is on Israel.
It's the 12 tribes. Beautiful.
But where do you see that?
Says Lemor, lo, he's not going to do. The one that's going to inherit you is Zeh. Because the foundation of Yitzchak Yaakov and out of that came out.
Okay, but that's a twist in the word, but a very interesting. Okay, let's move on with the parasha. So, as you can see already, as I'm moving on with the parasha, I'm bringing out of the parasha the concept of Avos. Avos. How he has laid the foundation.
What is the concept of a father, of Av?
The concept of a father is to lay the foundation for the children. And we're going through the parasha. He is developing the legacy of the Jewish people emuna and betachon. Okay, here we move on now.
You're right on the point on Zed. That's out of context.
Yeah. I said that. Yeah, but that's we use the drasha when you want to play around with drash with deeper understanding of the Torah. You can end up saying something like that. Okay. All right. The story of the
which sets in motion the events that leads to
the next part of the parasha which I want to get to after the Brisbane Absurm, was this part was the part where Hashem has promised Avram Eretz Israel and the future boundaries of the Jewish people in this discussion over here, and we're going to move on to now on page 70, Perek Tezayin Pasuk Aleph. And here we have the story where Sarai finally realizes that she is barren and she's not having children, right? And she says to Hashem in Pasuk Beis, behold, Hashem has held me back from giving birth. Come to my maid that was Hagar. Perhaps I will be built from her. So another very important event is taking place over here. First of all, we recognize that having children is a miracle, and it's not always in our hands. And here, Sarah is telling Avram, I see that Hashem has held me back, but that doesn't mean that I cannot help you have a child. So therefore, maybe if I give Hagar to you as a wife, now remember, Hagar was her maid. Hagar was originally the princess of Paro. And Hagar came along with Avram and Sarai when they left Egypt at that time, because she saw how wonderful and how miraculous Avram and Sarai lived, and their whole lives were so different than the way they lived in Egypt, that she said, I would rather be a maid in the house of Avram, rather be a princess in the palace of Paray. So but now you picture what's happening over here. Sarai has a maid by the name of Hagar, and she sees that she cannot have children. So she says, maybe it's something that I have done, that a neveira, that has held me back from having children. So I'm going to do something totally unconventional. I'm going to take my maid, and I'm going to raise her to the status of my rival, as a rival wife. And I'm going to have her get married to Avram, Maybe she'll have a child, and if the child will come from her, then I will be built as a result of her having a child, and maybe I will one day be privileged of having a child, which is something totally unconventional, something almost mind-boggling, how a woman like this can do. But why? Because she knew that she had to serve Hashem and bring children to the world, and that if she couldn't do it in the way that would be natural, so she did something which is unnatural. And this is the story where we begin of, again, showing faith. Sarai is showing faith in Hashem that we have a job, we have a mission in this world to bring children. She has a mission, and
how did she know that she had a mission?
Well, every woman knows that. Every woman naturally knows that she is capable, or should be capable of having children, and that is a goal. Anyway, I know that we're going to have to stop because they start davening momentarily.
So I just
want to summarize over here that we started off the parasha talking about that the Avos HaKadoshim were called Avos because they laid the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Parshas Lech Lecha is the parasha beginning the story of the Avos HaKadoshim, laying the foundation. As we continue on the other parshios, moving on from Avram to Yitzchak and from Yitzchak to Yaakov, as we move through Sefer Bereishis, it comes up again and again and again and again. The concept of passing nisyonos, passing tests, and knowing that Hashem is behind all of the tests, because a test is called a nisyon. And the word nesoyin comes from the word nes. A nes is a mast. A mast is a pole. It's a tall thing. Now when a person passes the test, he's raised. He's higher. He goes higher from where he was before. Avraham Avinu passed 10 tests. This parsha only has a few of them. But we have to realize that when you pass a test, you become a greater person. Today, even though we're not on the level of Avraham Avinu, we always have to strive to become and to emulate our Avos HaKadoshim, to try to grow and to become as best as we can. May we have a wonderful and fruitful and productive week.